The trade deadline has come and gone. We'll go over some of the winners, losers, Canadian teams, what it means down the stretch, and a whole lot more. Welcome back into the Second Thoughts Hockey Podcast. Let's go. Tuesday, March the 22nd, aka post deadline show of the Second Thoughts Hockey Podcast. Kyle Grimard, your host as always. More articles up at the Hockey Writers for the Vancouver Canucks. I got one coming out involving them and basically talking about they did everything they wanted to do without having to do it. It sounds weird, but they created cap space without giving up one of their main players. They're getting more cap in the offseason. It works out very well. That piece is coming out in the next couple days. Make sure you tune into that. Instagram and Twitter, ST Hockey Podcast, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. So, like I mentioned earlier, today's show is going to be going over the trade deadline, the winners and losers, and then go through some of the Canadian teams and the remaining ones, basically, and see where we stand. I'm not going to go through every trade. Because, one, there was a ton yesterday. And two, if I'm really involving every trade that had to do with the deadline, you're basically asking me to go back a month to when really the Flames kicked it off with Tyler Toffoli. And again, that was a month prior too. And then there were trades like Cali Yarncroc. And even the day before actually had the most blockbusters. You know, they had Claude Giroux before the weekend even hit. And Giordano from the Leafs before yesterday. And there's just too many trades to go off of that were too significant. So I'm just going to kind of recap everything and go through some of the winners and losers, some of the bigger names that got dealt, some of the some of the teams that I felt did a lot better, some of the teams that I kind of questioned what they were doing. So that's where we'll start here with the trade deadline. Now, just because I think a team won and or lost, that doesn't set the narrative or guarantee the team's success or failures. Right? We've called it before, whether it's on the show or you've probably heard it from other media outlets. Somebody say something about a move, like, oh, they gave up way too much for that. And then they go on to have an incredible run, right? Or, oh, why in the world would the team be doing that? And then it ends up working out well for them. But these are just the winners and losers that I recognized. And I recognize from a standpoint of where they are as an organization and where the league is this year, because a lot of teams are going to be cap strapped moving forward, or a lot of teams identify that their windows are now or in the next year or two, and they went out and made the deals necessary to give themselves the best chance to compete. So I want to start with some of the winners. And one of the obvious ones to me is the Minnesota Wild. Obviously, you go out and acquire Marc-Andre Fleury. Marc-Andre Fleury, who, it's funny, his numbers aren't spectacular this season with a 908 save percentage, but Chicago's not, they're just not having a year. And Minnesota, they only gave up a conditional first round pick. Now, the conditions on the pick, this is hilarious, by the way, the conditions on the pick. So Chicago sends Fleury to Minnesota in exchange for a conditional first round pick. The condition on the pick is if Minnesota goes to the Western Conference Finals and Marc-Andre Fleury wins four of his team's, I guess, eight games in the first two rounds. So if Marc-Andre Fleury is a part of four of Minnesota's eight first and second round wins and they make the Western Conference Finals, that second round pick becomes a first round pick. If they don't make it that far, it's a second round pick. I think that's great work by Billy Guerin. I believe they eat most of the cap too. I didn't see the parameters around that one, but I like that. They also went out and acquired Jacob Middleton, the defenseman from San Jose. You might not have heard of him, but he's like 6'3", 6'4". He got a super jokes mustache. And in return, right, because they had two goalies this year. They had Cam Talbot, Kaapo Kähkönen. They send Kaapo Kähkönen to the San Jose Sharks, who I thought they were going to move a goalie. They never ended up moving one. But he's 26, and his cap hit is only $725,000. He'll be probably getting a raise and an extension in the offseason, but he's an RFA. He's controlled. I thought that was a great move. The reason why I think it's great, Minnesota, remember last year, before the season started, they bought out Ryan Suter, Zach Parise. Both are now on different teams. Suter is in Dallas. Parise is in New York for the Islanders. Those cap hits, the buyouts this year were not that big, but they start to balloon, right? Because they signed, they were like 10 or 12 year, 96. They were identical contracts, but they were like $96 million. Both players signed identical deals. The cap hits this year aren't that bad. Next year, they blow up. So if there was a year for Minnesota to be like, you know what, we're going to swing on Fleury, his cap comes off, and we'll figure it out from there. This was kind of the year to do it. So I applaud Bill Guerin, who understands the situation he's currently in. They made the moves necessary. I like what Minnesota did. We'll go over to a Canadian team here. Listen, I love Vancouver, and everyone was saying this online. It's not just because I saw it online. I loved what they did. Firstly, I cover the Canucks. I read a lot of what they were trying to do and trying to establish. The more games that went on, that JT Miller clearly was A, their best player. And I wrote a piece on this being like, this is why the Canucks should not trade him. And then they never did, thank goodness. The more that he continued to play well, the higher his price tag was. And teams were basically overpriced. Like, teams were not making offers on Miller that would have been reasonable for Vancouver to give him up, who's a player who has like close to 80 points this season, who's having the best season of his career, and has a year left under control at $5.25 million. That's insanity. The price tag would have been ridiculous. The problem for Vancouver, Brock Besser, his contract is up this year. They need to re-sign him. That makes $5.85 million. And I think the tender offer for him is $7.5. I think they're trying to find a deal around like seven, maybe a little bit less than that. So it's an extra $1 million that they're going to have to find. And then the next season, obviously, we got to re-sign JT Miller. The concern was that they weren't going to be able to keep all of Miller, Garland, and Besser. So one of them was going. They got calls on Besser. They got calls on Garland. They got calls on Miller. Hilariously, I wrote a piece being like, why don't you just, one, you could move guys like Travis Hamonic and Tanner Pearson or even a Tyler Motte. And then in the summer, the way that certain contracts work is, I believe Tanner Pearson's contract turns from a complete no trade to a no move clause, and you submit 10 teams. So does Tyler Myers' contract. He makes $6 million per year. Tanner Pearson makes three. Well, Vancouver goes out, trades away a bad contract in Travis Hamonic and $3 million. And they got a third round pick from Ottawa. Then they flip the third round pick to go replace Hamonic with Travis Dermott, who only makes 1.5 and is under control for next season. So they shed $1.5 million. They got a better player with another year under contract. Then they also moved out Tyler Motte, who was going to be an unrestricted free agent, got a fourth round pick out of it. And they did not have to trade away Miller, Besser, Garland, and they have moves in the offseason. They've got the $1.5 million from Yaroslav Halak coming off the books. They've got Roberto Luongo's, his retirement cap hit, or there's a retirement penalty that's over $3 million. That comes off the books. Now you keep the core together. You don't, you know, look dumb by signing Garland to a five-year contract and immediately moving him, and you have a potential to keep your entire core and build around Miller, Besser, Garland, Horvat, Patterson, Hughes, Demko, and win, win, win for the organization. And, you know, under old management, right, there was a lot of jokes made about Jim Benning. Do not pick up the phone on trade deadline day. Do not pick up the phone on free agency. Right? And all of a sudden, Patrick Alvin did a spectacular job in his first trade deadline. Spectacular job. Huge win for them. Another win, obviously, Montreal. Montreal traded away. So obviously, and the Ben Chiarot deal was a big one for them, but the Ben Chiarot deal happened not on Monday. It happened prior to the weekend. But Montreal traded away Ben Chiarot, Brett Kulak, Arturi Lehkonen, and Andrew Hammond, right? Those are all, you know, good players. They were all part of the big run that Montreal had. None of them are like, oh, like that's a showstopper right there. Like Ben Trott's a really like a good defenseman. He's not great. He had a big presence in Montreal's playoff run. He hasn't been great this year. In return, Montreal gets a first round pick, 2 second round picks, a fourth round pick, prospects Nate Schnarr, Justin Barron, and Ty Smlanich, defenseman William Lagnuson, for Sherratt, Kulak, Lehkonen, and Andrew Hammond. Andrew Hammond was barely playing games for this team this season. Brett Kulak's, I think, a bottom pair defenseman for them, and Arturi Lehkonen is not even in the top two lines for Montreal. Ben Sherratt maybe was a first pairing guy for them, but that's because no Shea Weber and Jeff Petrie is your only other better defenseman. That's a haul for Montreal with some really good young pieces in Suzuki and Caulfield. They didn't move Drouin. They kept Alexander Romanov. They've got a bunch of other young prospects coming up. Carey Price is still working his way back. Now, Carey Price can be like 34, but man, say what you want. Montreal did a spectacular job cleaning up. They held out. I came on this podcast last week. That was when Josh Manson got traded. He went for a second in a prospect. And I said, Montreal, good luck getting a first. You can put that argument away. The bar's been set. They held out. They held out. They sent Sherratt to Florida. Florida's desperate this year. And again, I like what Florida reminds me a lot of, not to the same extent, but they, like, remember that Columbus team that traded for, like, Ryan Dzingel and Matt Duchene, and they had Bobrovsky and Panarin, and they knew they were leaving. Florida right now, it like, they're getting everybody. They got Sherratt, they got Giroux, they got Brendan Hagg from Buffalo. Now, Aaron Ekblad went on IR, but it seems like Florida's, like, an all-in this year or nothing, which is kind of, it's crazy, but anyways, not on them, we're on Montreal. Montreal had a Cinderella run a couple years ago. Or last year, sorry. This year did not go as planned. Carey Price got hurt. You weren't nearly as good of a team. You lost your three most impactful players at all three positions. Your most impactful forward, Philip Deneau, gone. Shea Weber, injured, gone. Carey Price, personal leave, IR, gone. You had a pretty good guess that this team wasn't going to be nearly as good this year, but they restocked. I think their general manager did a great job, and Montreal is set up for the future. They've got a lot of young pieces who they're already building their team around right now. I love what they did. Congrats on them. Next winner, Colorado. The Avalanche, of course. They are currently first place in the NHL, and right now they know that this is the year to go all in. These are the players that Colorado has pending UFA statuses after this season: Nazem Kadri, Andrei Burakovsky, Valeri Nichushkin, Darcy Kemper. Oh, and on top of that, Josh Manson, who was just acquired, by the way, for second round pick, and Drew Helison, a prospect on the organization. They also sent out Tyson Yost for Nico Sturm, comparable players, but Tyson Yost probably needed a change of scenery. Colorado is, they also added Andrew Cogliano. But their defense is loaded. Sam Girard, Devon Taves, Cale Makar, who's stupid, Josh Manson. The defense is stacked. The offense is a threat. But this team knows you got four UFAs after this season, five if you include Manson. And in 2 years' time, Nathan McKinnon's contract comes up. And just a reminder, Nathan McKinnon, who's probably a top five player in the world, makes $6.2 million. So you can essentially double that, and they have to prepare for that. So if there is a year to go in on it. Oh, and they also added Arturi Lehkonen. That's who else they added for. This is the all-in year for them. Me and a buddy were talking about this too and saying that like this year to go for it. Because once McKinnon's contract comes up, you've got your horses locked in with Landeskog and Rantanen. And I think Landeskog right now is on IR. Kadri's going to get a pay raise. I think Burakovsky's probably going to make around the same. He might get more. He might get like $6 million. He makes 5.9 now, or 4.9, sorry. And Darcy Kemper, who makes 4.5 right now, he's probably going to want $5 million, something in those reigns. This is the year for Colorado goal, and I think they did a great job of not giving up too much. Like, they still found a way to keep a Bowen Byram. They have a few other prospects in their pool. They re-signed Pavel Francouz, who they really like down there. And again, recognizing that the cap is going to be real strict and you're going to lose guys like Kadri and Burakovsky and Nichushkin and Kemper. They probably only want to lose like two of those guys. I would try to re-up Kemper and Kadri, of course, and let Burakovsky and Nichushkin go. Burakovsky makes $4 million and tack on a little bit of that on top of Kadri and Nichushkin, a little bit of that on Kemper. You could probably keep two of those four, but Joe Sakic. What's all these former player GMs coming and doing a great job? Steve Yzerman in Tampa Bay and now Detroit. Joe Sakic in Colorado. Bill Guerin in Minnesota. Man, they know what they're doing, and they did a heck of a job. Good on them. Another team clearly just going for it, which is funny because their cap is about to get real tough in the next little bit. The New York Rangers. Another team where you know they're going all in. Andrew Kopp, Justin Braun, right? They've loaded up. They added Brett Kulak as more and more. They've got Igor Shesterkin playing just a crazy season this year. And you got to remember in the offseason, like they made some significant moves this offseason. They traded Pavel Buchnevich. They acquired Ryan Reeves. They signed Barclay Goodrow. They got bigger. They got tougher. They got stronger. And Andrew Kopp, Justin Braun fit right into that team. They somehow didn't trade Kaapo Kakko or Alexis Lafreniere, though I don't think they were ever going to. But they didn't give up a first-round pick, any meaningful players, or prospects. I think they gave up a second, a couple, they gave up the 2 seconds for Kopp. It becomes a first if they make like the Eastern Conference Finals or something, and they added Tyler Motte from Vancouver. So I say what you want, they're going all in, their cap's going to suck in a little bit. I believe the players that are expected, the player raises that hit this team hardest are the Mika Zibanejad deal. He goes from like 5 to 8.5. And then Adam Fox goes from like 900 grand to 9 million. Look it up. It's hilarious. So they're going to have to shed some cap soon. Shesterkin's locked in. They've got a lot of other guys locked in. This is the year to go for it. They got a lot of UFAs coming off the books. Why not go for it while Adam Fox is making 950 grand? While Zibanejad makes 5 million or 5.5 million before his contract balloons. They'll play with it in the offseason, but that's an offseason problem. I like what the Rangers did. I really do. I wanted to get a couple more winners in here. I'm trying to think right now. I'll get some other Canadian teams in a second, but these are just some off-the-topic teams that I thought were winners and losers. Those are some of the winners. If I think of a winner again, I'll come up with it, but I want to move on to losers here. And some of these losers are based off of sites that I've seen, the own research that I've done too. Actually, I'm just going to keep going with the winners. I have other winners down here from the Canadian teams. But so here are my other winners. So another winner is Calgary Flames. Listen, Calgary didn't do a whole lot yesterday. A couple minor moves. But they made their moves earlier. They got Tyler Toffoli. They got him a month ago. Still one of the best acquisitions in the trade deadline. Still one of the best ones. They also got Kale Järnkrok before the weekend. Toffoli fit like a glove. Fit right into that system. Kale Järnkrok, I think his cousin is Elias Lindholm. And he's best friends with Jacob Markstrom. Like, how could that not be any better? And he is a firecracker of a player that's going to come in here and be spectacular. Listen, their defense was fine to begin with. Apparently, according to their general manager, they were in the Brad Treliving. They were in the market for a defender, but they were just like, we couldn't afford it. And apparently they were trying to bring back and reunite Mark Giordano. But according to the cap, the way it worked is Seattle could only retain a certain amount and Calgary couldn't afford it. So the deal would have been impossible unless you got a third party team. But there was even some other rule that came in that Calgary just, there was no option for them to acquire Giordano. That was the only other guy they wanted on the market. They didn't want anybody else. They weren't in the Sherratt sweepstakes. Their defense, by the way, is Rasmus Anderson, Chris Tanev. You've got Noah Hanifin on the left side. This is a very, very good. Oliver Kylington is so good. Their defense is great. You've got depth at forward, which I've been talking about for honestly years now. And this year in particular, when they moved Elias Lindholm to center, that's been the biggest take, because now you've got Elias Lindholm, Sean Monahan, Cali Yarncroc now, Gaudreau, Tkachuk, Mangiapane. There's a reason that everyone's hyping this team. They're a good team. And they didn't really need a whole lot more after they made the Toffoli and Yarncroc deals. Their defense is solid to begin with. They didn't want to add another person to mess with the dynamic. So I like what they did. I liked it. And they didn't overpay for anything. They got Toffoli at a good price, who's made a good impact, and they got Yarncroc at a good price. Good for Calgary. They're going to be a nightmare to deal with. That's a playoff team. They are built for postseason hockey. They're going to do some damage. Another team, like it or not, Toronto Maple Leafs. Everyone talked about, did they address goaltending? No. Did they add a top six winger? No. They didn't add a top six winger because a top six winger costs a conditional first round pick, a second, and a prospect. Toronto was very adamant of saying, we are not trading our first round pick. Andrew Kopp went for a conditional second round pick that becomes a first if the Rangers make it far enough, another second, and a prospect. Toronto wasn't willing to pay it. Toronto did not have to trade their first round pick. This is similar, by the way, but if we're going to talk for a second about like the winners and stuff, and we just talked about the Rangers. The Rangers, who a lot of people think were big winners, they got Kopp, Mott, and Braun. They didn't surrender a technical first-round pick or any meaningless players or prospects. That's an exact quote from our article. Toronto Maple Leafs didn't trade a first-round pick, any high-end prospects or players on their roster. They did the exact same thing the Rangers did. And everyone's like, oh, they didn't get a goalie. Oh, they didn't get a top six winger. Sorry, top six wingers don't grow on trees. And when they're out there, Andrew Kopp's not even a top six winger, though. So that's my problem. But listen, they added Mark Giordano and Colin Blackwell. I think a lot of people are going to be happy with Blackwell. Blackwell is like, is the playoff type player that Toronto needed. That's a guy that a lot of people are going to like. He's energetic. He hits everything. Maybe not everything, but he's physical. He's hard on the puck. He's a great special teams penalty killer. And Toronto didn't trade a first round pick or Matthew Nyes or Topi Niemelä. Matthew Nyes right now, based on his season, a lot of people are saying that he is now one of the top prospects in the collegiate level. One of the top prospects. He was a second round pick. Topi Niemelä was one of the best right hand shot defenseman prospects coming up right now. Toronto move either of them. They didn't trade their first. Oh, and remember they made a deal that got Nick Ritchie's contract off the books and brought in Ilya Lyubushkin. You want to know where Ilya Lyubushkin is playing right now? On the top pairing with Morgan Rielly. Now, it's funny because Toronto actually did add a goaltender. They signed Sitari, a goaltender from Finland, who won a gold medal for Finland. But he got claimed by Arizona. They waived Peter Mrazek. They claimed this goaltender. Or they signed this goaltender to a one-year deal, and he got claimed by Arizona. But Toronto's going to have Jack Campbell back. I know he's been struggling over the last little bit. He was playing with a rib injury, apparently, for like the last 2 weeks prior to him leaving the team for a bit. He comes back, no injury. He probably plays better than what he's been playing at. You've got this Shelgren guy who's been great relief for you. God forbid Mrazek comes back up and plays okay after a little stint. So let me get this straight. The Leafs added, in perspective, based on how their lineup looks, a bottom six forward who's energetic, hits, kills penalties. Two top four defensemen, one who's reuniting with his former partner in TJ Brody, and the other one who's a physical machine who averages 6 to 7 hits a game. And you didn't trade your top prospects, a roster player, or a first round pick. How is that not a win? How do you not look at that and be like, wow, that's a win? There are talks, by the way, of Toronto, after the college season is done, of signing Matthew Nyes to their entry-level contract and putting him on the roster. You've also got Nick Robertson, who can score, who's, yes, he needs some work still, but Matthew Nyes is like 6'3", 200-something pounds. He's 20 or 21 years old. He might come in and play a role on this team. You never know. And the fact that Toronto didn't have to give up that depth is huge. Big winners. Big winners. All right. Now I think I'm going to get to some of the teams that I thought kind of lost out on the deadline. And there's a couple teams that I was debating on putting in the loser, but they're kind of in the mutual area. They're in the middle ground. So I'll tell you where those teams are for me. So let's start with one. One team I think that didn't really, they made moves, but they didn't get better. That's the Washington Capitals. The Capitals made a couple minor additions. They re-brought in Marcus Johansson from Seattle. They brought in Johan Larsson, and then they traded forward Daniel Sprong away, and they traded a third, a fourth, and a sixth round pick. Which is funny. So Washington apparently was in the market for a left-hand shot defenseman. They were very much in the market for one. They needed someone to play with John Carlson. Two guys come to mind. Ben Chiarot, Mark Giordano, Hampus Lindholm, those guys. All of them went to different teams. And it's funny because Washington had the draft capital to make that work. And I guess they just didn't like the pricing because they just never committed to it. And you watch all these other teams get better and better and load up, and Carolina added Max Domi, and Pittsburgh added Ricard Raquel, and you look in the Atlantic and Tampa Bay loaded up. By the way, Tampa Bay were winners. I'm going to put that out there right now. Tampa Bay won. Tampa Bay, Florida, they won. Tampa Bay gave up a lot for Brendan Hagel, and they traded Matthew Joseph away. They got Nick Paul, who's 6'3". He's like 200 plus pounds. He's got big size. He'll fit perfectly in there. Brendan Hagel is cap controlled at $1.35 million for the next two seasons after this one. Yeah, they traded two first round picks, but they've also won two straight Stanley Cups. So I'm not arguing with what Tampa Bay's doing. They've also got the best defenseman in the NHL, the best goaltender in the NHL, and probably two of the top 10 forwards in the NHL, and Kucherov and Stamkos and Brayden Point's one of the best playoff performers in recent NHL memory. So for my eyes, they won. They traded Magic Beans and draft capital and yeah, a couple prospects, but they're in win now, win as many as we can now mode. So I respect it. Same with Florida. Like Florida gave up a ton for Ben Chiarot, but Florida feels more like they need to win the cup this year. By the way, Giroux's playing with Barkov, which is hilarious. But you've got the goaltender Bobrovsky, you've got Mackenzie Weegar, Aaron Ekblad, you just added Brendan Hag. You got, like I said, Barkov, Giroux, Huberto, Duclair, March. Like they're loaded. They're loaded. They're ready to go. They're both loaded. They are better now than where they were before the deadline. So they're both winners too. But sorry, back to Washington here. Now, Washington doesn't really have any cap space right now, which was, I think, a big problem of theirs. But you've got, I don't know, players like Garnet Hathaway, who make $1.5 million. Lars Eller makes $3.5 million. Connor Sheary makes $1.5 million. And, you know, Justin Schultz is an unrestricted free agent this year. He makes $4 million. Like, you got a lot of guys making a lot of money this season. And their team is fine. Like, Carlson's sick. Dmitry Orlov's a good player. Justin Schultz, good. Nick Jensen, good. Michael Kempe, good. Like, Matt Irwin's, they're fine. But I get why they want to add a player. I get why also they couldn't afford to add a player. But now, I look at their team, and they just didn't get better. Like, they didn't get any better. They're kind of rotating between the two goaltenders right now, and Ilya Samsonov and Vitek Vanacek. Vanacek's actually been the better goaltender. Both of them are up for RFA statuses this year, so they got to figure out who the heck they're signing. But yeah, I'm looking at them, and they didn't really improve. But I'm looking. They've got their first round this year. They've got Winnipeg's second round. They've got their own third round this year. Next year, they've got their own first and their own second. You throw in a pick and trade some players with some money and go get a Mark Giordano. Like, go move another pending UFA defenseman to go get Giordano. Like, you could have easily moved one of the guys. Like, if there's a player that you don't like on defense, and I don't know, I don't watch them enough, but the only player that I think that makes a decent amount of money right now that they would probably, I don't know if they want to move him, but if you want to bring in a Giordano, and you move out, like, so Dmitry Orlov and Michael Kempe both shoot left. Nick Jensen, I think, is a left shot. I could be wrong. He's a right shot defenseman. Yeah, Nick Jensen's right. So on the right side, you've got Carlson, Jensen, Schultz. On the left, you've got Orlov and Kempe and Irwin. Irwin only makes 750 grand. So you're not moving him. Are you moving Dmitry Orlov, who has 2 years left at $5.1 million? So they were kind of handcuffed. They couldn't really get anybody. But that also sucks because a lot of other teams were also handcuffed and they made the money work. I don't know. It's a tough situation. They're a good team. They've always been a good team. I just don't know if I liked what they did at the deadline. They didn't get really any better. And that's why I'm kind of on the fence with Washington right now. Okay, and there's really only one other, like, loser team in my mind. There's another one here, but I want to get to them in a little bit. The Edmonton Oilers clearly have two issues on their team. And yes, listen to me. They're hot right now. They won five straight. I think they lost to Colorado last night. They got two of the best players in the world. From the very beginning of this season on this podcast, what did I say Edmonton needed? Defense and a goalie. More, they need a goalie more than Toronto. Toronto struggled for a month. Edmonton struggled all year in that. They needed a defenseman and a goalie. There were plenty of them on the market. They were linked to plenty of them. You could have moved a first and Mikko Koskinen to get Marc-Andre Fleury. Didn't. They could have moved a first and a prospect to go get a defenseman like a Hampus Lindholm or a Mark Giordano or whatever. They didn't. They added Brett Kulak. And they gave up a second, by the way, to do it. Brett Kulak doesn't play that much hockey. And Brett Kulak's not better than Nurse, or you're not going to play him over Keith, or you might, but then that's like, and then they got Derek Brassard, who, has he played a whole lot this year? Who's been hurt a lot and is a shell of his former self. And he was a great player when in his prime, but you know, recently he's just not made a lot of noise. That's kind of all they did. So they're going into the playoffs with Mikko Koskinen and Mike Smith. By the way, Edmonton, despite this recent run they've been on, they had won their 6-2-2 in their last 10, and they had won five straight prior to the overtime loss against the Avalanche last night. Their goaltending stats, Mikko Koskinen has a 304 goals against and a 904 save percentage, and Mike Smith has a 337 goals against and an 896 save percentage. All right. You could argue that they added Evander Kane. Could argue that. And this season, actually, his numbers have been pretty solid. He's got 21 points in 24 games. He's been putting up a lot of points. He's been playing really well. He's physical. That might have been their deadline deal. I don't know. But that's a forward. And what I said from the beginning, what does this team need? Defense and goaltending. They need just either of those things. At least Toronto got not one, but two defensemen in the last month, and Ilya Lyubushkin and Mark Giordano. Then they tried to get a goalie. They signed that Satir guy. They were calling about Fleury. They sent Mrazek down. They went the whole nine. Wasn't one there that they wanted. Jack Campbell's coming back from injury. He's going to play better. They found a kid in the meantime who's been doing an admirable job. I don't know. They just like... Is another year going to go by? Now, right now, they're in a playoff spot, and it looks like they're going to make the playoffs. But you're going to play, what, Colorado? Minnesota? Calgary? Telling you right now, those three teams are going to mop the floor with you. You've got to keep the puck out of the net. Those three teams in net have Darcy Kemper, Marc-Andre Fleury, Jacob Markstrom. They'll have better defensive cores than you do, and they have more depth at forward. You have the two better forwards than any of those teams, outside of Colorado and Nathan MacKinnon. But that's it. Defense, you're wiped. Goaltending, you're wiped. And you've got a slight edge in offense. And you might not even have that against Colorado. Is another year going to go by of McDavid and Draisaitl not doing damage in the postseason? Same can be said for a lot of teams. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, Florida's had Barkov and Huberto for how long now? And they have won a playoff series in how long? Toronto with Matthews and Marner. But those teams are making moves. Colorado's making moves. Edmonton's not making moves. That's my thought on it. Maybe it works out. But if I'm an Oilers fan, I do not feel good about starting Mikko Koskinen. And on the other side of me is the Colorado Avalanche and Darcy Kemper, or the Calgary Flames and Jacob Markstrom, or the Minnesota Wild and Marc-Andre friggin' Fleury. I don't feel good about that at all. I wouldn't feel good about it. Okay, so now I want to get to a couple teams here who I didn't think they lost, but I didn't think they won either. Chicago. So Chicago, I thought they did okay. They didn't really get the return they wanted to in Fleury, but they got something for him. They got the second that could be a first if Minnesota goes far. Minnesota kind of covers their own asses there. I think the Brandon Hagel deal is good for them in the sense that they fetched two first round picks. It doesn't make any sense because he was cap controlled and a really good player, and he could have been a player you build around your team. But now he's gone to Tampa Bay. You got prospects for it too. Like, that's a good move for Chicago. But a lot of teams, like the team like Washington, is looking for a left-hand shot defenseman. I just told you about it. Calvin DeHaan is there. You couldn't have worked out a deal with them where you eat some of his salary, take on something else, and get a second-round pick in return. They had one. Now, again, this was the Brendan Hagel return. Hagel and a couple fourth-round picks in 2022 and 2024, and they got first-round picks in 2023 and 2024, plus forwards Boris Kachuk and Ty Radish. Ty Radish is a good name. But Brandon Hagel this year is having a breakout season. He's got 21 goals, 16 assists. He's got in 55 games. He's been on fire lately. He's 23. And he has a $1.5 million cap hit through 2023-2024. So this is the 2021-2022 season. So he signed through 2022-2023 and 2023-2024. And all the articles, Jonathan Toews came out and just said, I don't know if anyone feels safe on this team in terms of getting traded. Brandon Hagel had mixed emotions about being dealt too. He thought he was going to be a part of the rebuilding process. So it's good, but it's not. That's why I couldn't decide if they're winner, loser, losers. I saw a couple articles saying that they were losers, but like you get a haul like that for Brandon Hagel. There's no way I thought he was going for two firsts. Ty Radish, not a chance. So they're kind of in the middle, and I don't mind what they did. They also could have done more and gotten more, and I just kind of question that a little bit. Another team, So the Ottawa Senators made a deal also with Tampa Bay where they got Matthew Joseph. They send away Nick Paul. Matthew Joseph, good player. I think they got a fourth out of it too for Nick Paul in exchange. I like that deal. But Ottawa, they also re-sign Anton Forsberg. The Travis Hamonic deal makes no sense to me. So let me get this straight. 2 days ago, Philip Myers, a right-hand shot, 25-year-old, 6'5 defenseman from Nashville, gets put on waivers. He has a cap hit of like $2.1 million. He goes unclaimed. Vancouver is desperately trying to have cap space. And Travis Hamonic is sitting on a deal with $3 million on it next year. Instead of asking Vancouver to attach a draft pick for Hamonic, you give them one and a third of all? In actual cash next season, I was reading this, Hamonic makes $3.25 million. That's more than his cap hit. You traded a third round pick for Travis Hamonic when you could have got for free a better, younger, cheaper Philip Myers. There was another stat that came out there that said, here's the list of all the old defensemen that Ottawa's acquired and why the rebuild is in year like seven. And it's like Ron Hainsey, Nikita Zaitsev, Artem Zub, Travis Hamonic, Dion Phaneuf, right? It was a list of like nine guys. It's funny, for a team that doesn't like to pay their players, they are paying a lot of old defensemen to come there. And they're trading away assets. Like, they were doing such a good job. And again, let me reiterate. The Nick Paul trade for Matthew Joseph's a good young player. He's going to fit very well there. Re-signing Anton Forsberg is great. You still have Matt Murray at like four more years at $6.5 million. You could have easily charged a first round pick or gotten something in return. You could have easily gotten like a second and a third for Anton Forsberg. And now they want to re-sign him, which again is nice. But you've got Matt Murray at four or three more years. I think it's four more years at $6.5 million. You're going to pay him to sit on the bench while Anton Forsberg starts. And who knows? Maybe Anton Forsberg isn't great in a year or two. We've seen it with a lot of goalies before. I don't think Ottawa's a winner. I don't. They got the Matthew Joseph player, but they didn't add Philip Myers, who is a great, I don't understand why a lot of teams didn't add Philip Myers, to be honest with you. They traded away a third round pick to get Travis Hamonic, didn't claim Myers. And now on their defensive core right now, you're paying Artem Zub, Nikita Zaitsev, and Travis Hamonic. I don't know, man. Didn't seem great to me. So, and another team that I thought did actually a lot better than I thought, but I still questioned it, was the Winnipeg Jets. So Winnipeg is in they've had a weird year. Paul Maurice walked on the team, said, I'm not getting through my players anymore. I'm resigning. That hurt the team. They've been struggling. They're not making the playoffs. They're going to sell. And right up until the last minute, Andrew Kopp hadn't been traded. He finally goes. They get a couple second round picks for him. One is going to be, could be a first round pick if the Rangers go far enough. But yeah, they got a lot of question marks about the core. they weren't able to move Stasny, who would have been a great addition to some team, right? Paul Stasny, top six guy. They're also looking for, it was weird that Winnipeg and Toronto didn't make a deal. So Winnipeg's looking for players with term next year and like other defensemen, right? And I don't know, a guy like Dermott or a guy like Justin Hall, and maybe the Leafs send a guy like Alexander Kerfoot. So two players, and then you could have sent those two in like a second round pick and gotten Paul Stasny. The money works. Winnipeg gets a couple players on term. Toronto gets, you know, their guy in Stasny to play with Tavares. I just like, I don't know why Winnipeg wasn't pushing harder unless they plan on re-signing him, but he's a UFA and he might go. So they got a little bit of a haul, but they could have done more. They've got a wild offseason to figure out too. So I'm going to be very intrigued to see what they do come the spring. And then the last team that I didn't think it was a big winner were the New York Islanders. So the Islanders, who are clearly awful this season, who are trying to figure out who they are. They have a bunch of old vets on their team. They don't move any of them. They don't give Char an opportunity to go compete for a Stanley Cup one more year. They keep him. They don't give Parise an opportunity to do that either. They ended up extending Parise and Cal Clutterbuck. You've got an uprising goaltender in Ilya Sorokin. You're paying Semyon Varlamov $5 million. And they don't trade him. They don't trade anybody. Because Lou Lamoriello was like, oh, if we're not getting the price we want, or I'm not trading anybody. I don't know. Like, was this not like a Lou year? Hey, it's a seller's market. Teams are getting fleeced for players, and I'm Lou Lamoriello. I do this on a regular basis. I guarantee you, you could have sent Cal Clutterbuck for a first round pick. You could have gotten a first, a second, and a fourth for Varlamov. 100%. He's got term left on his deal. It's not an awful cap hit. I think it's like $5.2 million. And a team probably would have sent you a goalie the other way. Like Edmonton and Toronto come to mind. Like Edmonton and Toronto are easily sending back Koskinen and Mrazek to make the money work. And they're throwing in a first and maybe a third and a fourth. I don't know. You're probably getting prospects from them too. And they did nothing. They did absolutely nothing. But nevertheless, the trade deadline is come and gone. We will see how the new teams look. The race for the playoffs is starting up. I'm excited, and I can't wait to see what transpires over the next little bit. Thank you for listening in to the Second Thoughts Hockey Podcast post-trade deadline breakdown. Hope you enjoyed it. Follow me along on Twitter and Instagram at ST Hockey Podcast. Follow along on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Just search Second Thoughts Hockey Podcast and enjoy. It's the first week of spring. The warmer weather. Hopefully we're kind of getting a little bit of rain and maybe some snow here, but then it warms up again. And I'll see you back on the next episode on the following Tuesday, right before April. Until then, enjoy. That's a wrap.